Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, good evening, good evening, everyone. Good evening to you. Once again, this is Blog Talk Radio, Real Talk with the Number One Doctors. This is part B of a show that we started yesterday. We are very pleased to have with us this evening again our dear sister Patricia, who spoke about her son's death about 18 years ago, but yet still has unanswered questions about the disclosure, about the evidence, about unanswered questions in the investigation. They have now put her son in as a cold case, so it is going to be ongoing. She has brought in the federal government and the various entities of that to investigate on her behalf. She's asking for that additional help from them and to just look and see exactly what has taken place in getting the answer that those answers that are unanswered for the family. Also, she has put a petition together on her website, and in a few minutes I will have her give you that information so you can write that down. So while I'm talking, grab a pen and paper. And this petition is designed to make sure that law enforcement, or anyone for that matter, who comes in contact with your child who is 18 or younger, and they have evidence on the child, or they have the child in some custody, whether the child is alive or dead, that they contact the parents on a timely basis. They don't wait for months on end. You're looking for your child, looking for evidence. They may have it, and yet you don't have it. This is far too common. This is not an unusual situation, ladies and gentlemen. We've done shows before where we have had families who have told us when they try to get the evidence, when they try to get information on their child's missing or their child's death, the coroner's office would not release information. The police department would not release information. The attorney's office would not release information, who was, of course, representing the city or the county at that time. So this is not unusual. So we definitely need a law like this that allows you and I to be able to get timely information so that it doesn't give the opposition the time to botch the evidence. It doesn't give them time to cover up the evidence. It doesn't give them time to just sit on information. And so we must support this petition. Sister Patricia will go into more details again about this. She'll let you know the state that this took place in. It actually took place in California, this unfortunate situation with her son. And she'll go into more details what happened with that. But she's now presently in Florida. But she's not looking at a state initiative. She's looking at a national initiative. That means any state that you are in and you have the unfortunate situation with your children, this law can be brought into place. I love it when we are proactive. We have got to get proactive, ladies and gentlemen. I know that some of you are so bourgeois that you don't like to hear Black Lives Matters, but you go ahead with your bourgeois self. I am bourgeois. But I'm going to tell you something, Black Lives Matters, okay? I am letting you know Black Lives Matters. And so it doesn't take a person to be bourgeois and be blind. Look at our brother Trayvon Martin. He was living in a gated community. Many of you live in gated communities and you think you're extinct or you're protected from the onslaught of those who are outside of the fence. And yet, look what happened to Trayvon. Wake up and smell the roses, ladies and gentlemen. If you are Black any at all, you need to understand that you are being put on a pedestal right now. This is like the auction block. We cannot go to school and get our education without a Supreme Judge saying that we should not be educated. It's a waste of money to invest in Black people to get education. Do you understand where you are living? Do you understand the times in which you are living? Your young sons cannot walk the streets beyond a certain time with fear of being gunned down, and the police coming together as a fraternity and covering up for one another. And if it wasn't for the cameras, that would show the evidence that even when you're seeing something, they're telling you don't believe what you see. Come on, ladies and gentlemen, do you understand what time we're living in? And you may not like many of the things that President Barack Obama has done. That's your personal opinion as a political person. But let me tell you something. You think it was bad while he was in office? You haven't seen anything yet when he steps out of office. There are very few laws that will protect us black people. We have huge school loans and cannot get jobs. We live in a world where we're almost schizophrenic because we have to be all things to all people to maintain a certain, live in a certain lifestyle, a certain opportunity. Look how many people have been shot over and over. And if that's not bad enough, you get a police officer who's sworn to protect you from danger. And that police officer feels that it's his right to violate and rape 9 black women. A white police officer who's on the beat in his uniform raping 9 black women. Huh? And it doesn't make sense to give him 200 and something years. That don't make any sense to me. The man's guilty, he's guilty, he's guilty. So we have to, so yes, arrest him, but I don't know what that means to give him an excessive amount of time because he'll end up dying. But look, how many people knew he was doing that? Who was covering up for him? And he's only the one that got caught with his hand in the cookie jar. There are far more other crooked police officers that are on these beats. And so, no, I'm not a hater of police officers. Don't get me wrong. But there's got to be something wrong with the training that they're getting. There's got to be something wrong why our black police associations have not come forward with a statement. There's got to be something wrong with the way they're being trained. And until we get that, we're going to continue to hold them accountable. All right. So I've set the tone. And here is a mother. I am a mother. I'm a grandmother. Here is a mother who has not gotten any answers for her son tonight. And we're going to do part B, and we're going to talk about what this means. How has it changed the lives of this family? What has happened to this family, and why do they have such passion to move forward with this information so that they can get answers? It is never late. It is never too late to get an answer. Do you hear what I say, ladies and gentlemen, my listening audience? It is never too late to get an answer. And so it is our greatest pleasure on Blog Talk Radio, Real Talk with the Number One Doctors, to assist the sister and her family in putting her story out. And those of you who hear this, if you have any heart of compassion whatsoever, go on that website, go on their Facebook, and go ahead and sign that petition so that we can make change, so that change can come about in a very positive way. I believe Reverend Harris, my co-partner, will be on the show also. This is where you call being in two places at once, sometimes three places at once. But we're so grateful for technology. I am 3,000 miles away from Brother Harris, and yet we're able to do this show together. We thank Brother Patch for also being on our board. And so we intend to have a wonderful show tonight and just pick up from where we left off. So without any further ado, we're going to bring in Sister Patricia and Brother Patch. Let me know when Brother Harris comes on the line so that we can give a shout-out to him and listen and have his voice as well. All right, Sister Patricia, are you there?
I will do that.
Yes, I am.
All right, my sister. I want to say welcome again to our show. I know this
Thank
has got
you.
To be difficult for you to go through replaying this in your mind. But you also told us last night that where you get your strength from is your spiritual strength. You draw your strength from a higher power, and that it's so wonderful that you're not ashamed to put that out there and let people know that you couldn't do this by yourself, but it's your faith in God that has given you the drive to move forward. We know that Jesus was the greatest social activist that there was, and he came to change the system and to destroy the system, as a matter of fact. And so he came to put a new system in place. And so here you are simply trying to get answers. Just to tell us if you can go back in time again, greet the audience, give us your contact information, and then set the tone and the scene for us again as to what happened and where you're at and what has brought you to this point.
Well, my name is Patricia Ward, and we have introduced a law. It was child closure law, and it's to help children 18 and under in a homicide investigation to help their families receive closure and justice by demanding that the officials, state and federal, notify the family of any records, property that they have within 30 days. And that's what we're pushing. We're in Congress now in Jacksonville, Florida, to them today. And they're also getting the attorney part together so they can put it on the table worldwide. This law is helpful in the sense that you don't have to. I have so many mothers that call and their child have been murdered and they have no answers, or they're wondering where their cell phone or where their property at, and they have no answers. And when so I inform them, well, call the police and ask them. You know, you're entitled to that information. And a lot of us don't know that when our child is in a homicide investigation, you're still entitled to information. And it's some officers and some officials that will not give it. So this law is forcing them to call the families instead of the families have to worry and call them. One mother, her son was murdered on the street, and she just wanted his cell phone, you know, just that little thing. So it was 2 years later now since her son was murdered, and she finally saw the website and our Facebook, and she called me. And I told her, I said, well, just call the police and ask them, is the person that killed your son got the phone, or do they got the phone? And she was finally able to get that information. They had the phone. So it might not seem a lot to somebody that haven't experienced that death, but when your child passed away, every minute of his last breath, that whole day, you think about, you know, what he did when he woke up, what he put on, who was he with, you know, what time did he leave, you know, where did he go. That whole day until he died, you want to know that information. So you know it, and then once he dies, that's when the information is not given, and all of a sudden you're separated from your child, and you don't know nothing. And it's an unimaginable pain of not knowing. So we have to push this law to force them to come to us. You shouldn't have to be wondering after going through a homicide of your child. You don't know who killed them. You don't know that none, you know, none of the information. You know, did they struggle or, you know, what happened? And they treat you as if asking them for money. And I think that's the most painful thing dealing with a death of a child, and then have to call a stranger, and you're being treated like you're bothering them or you're begging, you know. And it's okay because that's your child, so you're willing to do that. You're willing to push that envelope. You're willing to go there, but you shouldn't have to. So this is what Curtis Law is about. So the families do not have to go through that treatment, that humility, that humane treatment of being treated like you have no rights, like you did something to your child. And yeah, and that's the pain I deal with every day. Even now, still trying to find justice for my child, I still get treated like that. I call it a homicide. You know, Curtis is in a cold case. Okay, so what are y'all doing? What is the information? And they treat you as if, and talk to you as if, well, we doing it, and you don't have to, you know, it's unreal. You don't realize that is my child, you know, and it's when the child was alive, if somebody talk about your child, you ready to go to the extent to protect your child. But once it's gone, it's harder to fight. So we want to take that fight out. We want to make this law, which is Curtis Law, that they call you, the coroners will call you and say, hey, we have this information on your child. We have the full autopsy. We have 200 pictures of the coroner, the crime scene. And you're welcome to get that information. Even if it's a homicide investigation, the coroner is not supposed to keep the autopsy report away from you. That has nothing to do with the homicide investigation. So we need this law because a lot of families don't get it. They tell them no.
Yes,
so
yes,
why
yes.
can't you have the autopsy report? on your child. Why not? It has nothing to do with the investigation. Why I can't have that.
Right.
So it took me.
Right.
It took me 7 years to get that report.
Seven years
of fighting to get that report.
Mm-hmm.
And so this law has to be. Our website is www.justice4curtis.com. And we need signatures. If you can, give a donation. We also have T-shirts just to push this. I thank you so much, Dr. Kennedy, for inviting me on the show, because this is it's so many families out there, so many.
Dr. Kennedy, if I may,
if I may
break in right now, Dr. Kennedy, we are now in the archive side of the show. There was only 15
already?
Minutes scheduled for live. Yes, only 15 minutes scheduled for live.
Well, okay, and I was going to ask you if you could text Reverend Harris the phone number, because you know he's out in the field, but he needed to get that number and to get on.
Right.
If there's any way you can
will
text him that.
Text him right now.
Get on the phone.
I'll do that right now.
Or maybe have him call your number so he can get in. All right. Thank you very much. See what you can do to get Reverend Harris on the line. All
right,
sister.
I'm
I
doing
love
it right
it
now.
That you have. Thank you, my brother. I love it that you've taken that time out to share. So I'm going to be a mother. I'm going to try and see if I can even walk in your shoes. I wonder what it was like for you the day. Can you remember what was going on the day when your son got up? Maybe what he was wearing, maybe what he told you he was going to do. What was his day? What was that day like for
you?
He
had got his driver's license, so he literally just took over my car. If I had to go do something, he would drive me there, you know. So he was in that frame, and he was getting ready to graduate, and his best friend, mother, had passed away. So it was spring break time, and he's like, Mom, I want to take the car to go to the beach because my friend, they're going to, you know, have a little get-together because his mom passed away. And that's why they went to the beach, but my car wasn't running. So I told him, I said, well, Curtis, you can't drive mine because I got to go to the shop tomorrow. So his cousin came to pick him up, and they went to the beach. And so later on that night, I think it was like about 1 in the morning when a police officer in a black hat came to the door, and he said, we put a missing report out for your son. And I thought Curtis was in the room because he's pretty good about coming home. So it just never fathomed me that he wasn't there. And I said, you put a missing report, you need to explain, a big fight broke out, but you can't go down there tonight. The search is over, and we're going to pick it up in the morning so you can come down there in the morning. So that's when I knew this something is seriously going wrong. Because you come to my door, you know nothing about my son, you know nothing about me, and you haven't found him, you don't know where he at. So how did y'all have information on my child to even put a missing report?
Interesting. So that's
and I couldn't go to the, I couldn't go to where it happened. I was not allowed to go there. So I waited till the next morning. Yeah,
why
I waited till the next morning and went, huh?
Why was that? Why were you not able to go there? Did they make
I don't,
a crime scene?
You know what? I don't know, but this is what happened. And the officer was adamant about that. You cannot go down there tonight. The search is over. We're not searching for him no more, and we're going to pick it up in the morning. But in the morning when I went down there, they found his body. Same where they found, because him and his cousin ran in the water. So they was at the buoy. So they pulled him out the water, but they didn't find Curtis. They didn't know where Curtis was at. And the next morning, they found him in 10 minutes. He was right at that buoy. Now, the body and his clothes was at that buoy. Nothing ever moved. His clothes, his pants was off. All that was by his body. So in the lifeguard report, it shows a diagram of a kid face down, his arms were folded. And a drowning person, they usually don't fold their arms. if they're going to drown, they float. Well, Curtis didn't. His arms were folded, and he was his feet were crossed, face down, and his clothes was right next to the body all night.
So are you?
Until they
are
found
you,
it the next
you,
morning.
Are you saying that when they found him, he was naked?
He didn't have no pants on and nor his shoes. All he had was his T-shirts, his boxer, and some socks, his socks. They found one shoe, but that shoe wasn't even found where he was at. The other shoe was found way over in Princess Resort, which is on way on the other side of the beach where they was at. And that's where the boat found his shoe. And they gave me the shoe when I went there that morning. They say, here, is this his shoe? And I said, yeah. And that just threw me off.
You there? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So, yeah.
So let me
ask
you this. Did they mention in the report any foul play? I mean, I'm curious that his clothing was off his body.
They never told me that. I started looking into the case 2 years. So it took me 2 years to get the police report from Lieutenant Duncan because they wasn't giving me nothing, not even a coroner, nothing. So when I got the report finally after 2 years, that's when I read it and it said that he didn't have no pants on. They never came to me and told me that he was found like that.
Mm-mm-mm. Okay, looks like we've got 9 minutes on the show tonight. This looks like a shorter show than we had last night maybe. Clock is saying 11:21. I'm in Atlanta, so my hours are ahead. All right, so let's just go with a few minutes.
Well, no,
that
that's what my clock is saying too, 11:20.
Yes, okay. So, Patrick, you saying the show is going to finish in just a few minutes, or we're going to go into archive?
We're already in archive. There's
okay,
9 minutes
the show's gonna
left
finish
in the entire show.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, great. So since we have the last 9 minutes of the show, let me have you do the remainder of the speaking. Tell us what your contact information is. Tell us what you would like us to do. And Patch, about a minute into that before we go off the air, if possible, if the time is matching up tonight, then just give me enough to say thank you for listening to the show. As a matter of fact, I'm going to say it now. I want to say to the listening audience, thank you for listening to the show. Please be proactive. Please fill out that petition so that we can make change. We're going to support the sister in her endeavors. And again, this is Dr. Jean Kennedy with Real Talk with the number one doctors. Reverend Harris is my co-host here. He was unable to get on the line tonight, but we've gone ahead with the show anyway. So, sister, just take us out to the end. Give us your contact information and anything else you want to say remaining for the last 6 or so minutes
that we have
left.
Our website is www.justice4curtis.com. And you just go to the website. You can click in. We have a Facebook hashtag. He has Instagram. Just click in Curtis Law. It'll all come up. You can also go to News 4 and Jack, and you can see our news article on there at News Jack 47. Push in Patricia Ward, and you'll see our news article there. We need signatures. We need donations. The donations will help us get it on the Internet, the awareness on the Internet. They'll help with posters, cards, Facebook, because it's not free to advertise on Facebook and we want to get that in there, so we desperately it's a big heart button. Just click on that heart and give your donations, $1, $5, whatever God puts on your heart to give to us. We need it. Just sign. You only have to put your name, your name, your address, and email. That's all it takes is to sign that petition, 1.2 seconds. And I thank you so much for inviting me on this show.
Wonderful, wonderful. And again, contact the sister Patricia, who is telling us about her son. Their logo, their slogan is "No closure for me, no justice for Curtis." No closure for me, no justice for Curtis. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. Black life does matter.
Black life does matter.
Black life does matter. And Brother Curtis We're saying this on your behalf, my brother, as you look down from where you're at. We are going to make sure that this answer, we get an answer. You can speak to us from beyond and lead us into the right place to get the right information for you. And so, hey, Black Lives Matter, we thank the sister. She has God on her side. She has you, the listening audience. Don't just listen and be entertained. Do something. Be proactive and make a change. Make a change by filling out this petition so that we move forward. I'm sure I'm down to the very end of my time now, and I don't want the music to come on when I'm talking. So, again, thank you, listening audience, for listening to us tonight. We did two shows of this. Go on our Facebook. We have a Facebook, Blog Talk Radio, Real Talk with the Number One Doctors. Look up Reverend Floyd D. Harris. Floyd D. Harris. Look up his Facebook. He always has great information on his Facebook. Look up my Facebook, Dr. Jean Kennedy. And if you have a story that you want to tell, that you know something's going on, please contact us on our Facebook so we can make arrangements to have you come on the show and tell your story. That is the only way we can get the information out. If you tell your story, we can let others know what is going on. Listen to me. An injustice to one is an injustice to all. Ladies and gentlemen, we cannot walk around with our head in the sand anymore. These are times of attack for the black race. Do you see where this country is going? Do you see how much hatred this country has for certain types of groups and certain types of people? Oh, please, don't let your million-dollar job or your fancy job title or your fancy neighborhoods think that you're not extinct, that this will not happen to you. This country is going through a change, and you better make sure you know what side of the fence that you're on. So again, we are here to speak truth to power. We thank you for listening to our radio show. Please invite another person to come on and listen to our shows. They're all archived. Go back to Facebook and listen to some of the shows that we have recorded. They're there for your listening pleasure. Thank you again for listening to us from the Caribbean, from Canada, from England, and right here at home in the United States of America. I want to say peace and love. Thank you, Sister Patricia, for coming in and sharing your story. God bless you and your family. Peace be unto you.